We're going to begin sermon today with that terrible teaching lesson, guess the word in Simon's head. You know, you've all been there when people keep saying, no, it's not that one. So, believe me, they're from the Bible, so let's see how we go. The good, very good. The prodigal, patient, it is. But I'm looking for a male name and a book of the Bible. Job, very good. Doubting. The very name of Thomas becomes a proverbial saying. The one who seemingly doubts the physical resurrection of Jesus. And he's not alone. A 2023 survey in the UK said that 90% of non-religious people did not believe in the resurrection. But more worryingly, it suggested that a quarter of people who declared themselves as Christians didn't believe in it either. Now, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll be quite clear about that. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." I can end the sermon now if you want me to. I'm not going to. But if there's no resurrection, there's no faith, there's no hope, we can go home. It's that simple. And Luke, writing in Acts, there's something here about not doubting that God has been raised to life. Jesus has come back from the dead, and there are witnesses. But how do we engage with this when we meet the story of Thomas? I think Thomas is a perfect example of us, a mixture of certainty and uncertainty. So let's just hold on to that. But he does get the full salvo, doesn't he, from Christian armchair experts. Surely Thomas should have known better. It wasn't as if Jesus hadn't mentioned on numerous occasions he was going to die. Even in John's Gospel, we have a number of repeated phrases where Jesus talks about going to be lifted up from the dead. And we know that, roughly speaking, halfway through each of the Gospels, we get to that point where Peter declares who Jesus is, and then Jesus begins to say what is going to happen to him. And on three occasions in the Gospels, he says he will die. But when it comes to being incredulous about things, we specialise in it. We specialise in the fact that some things just seem to be impossible, but are actually true. So here's a few things I found out as a former geographer. The first one interests me. Do you know Mount Everest is not the tallest mountain on the surface of the earth? Somebody's nodding their head. They know you've been in the pub quiz question about this one. It's a mountain in Hawaii called Mauna Kea. And if you measure it from the base, which half of that mountain is under the sea, it's taller than Mount Everest. Interesting. Did you know bananas are berries, but strawberries aren't? I didn't know that either. And here's an amazing fact, and I hope Chris is going to back this up. Your bones, pound for pound, are stronger than steel.
Oh. No idea.
Okay, all right. Good. Well, that's good. That's a good answer. I thought you were going to say something like, rubbish! But what I mean is, they don't sound that they could possibly be true, but they are. And that's how many people reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It can't be true, but it is. Thomas is looking for evidence. And I can imagine him in a late night chat show. You know, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have Thomas. And here he comes. He comes in, everyone claps, nice and polite. And the first question the interviewer will ask him is, where were you on Easter Day? Because he's not there. We don't know. We can ask him in heaven. But, you know, immediately he's on the back foot, isn't he? Thomas is getting it in the neck. Why didn't you believe like the other disciples, even when they told you? Surely. And I think Thomas might just come back with the question that probably has ruled his life and the way that we see him over the years. Why have we been so judgmental over his uncertainty and seeming lack of faith? When Thomas meets with Jesus that week after Easter Sunday, he doesn't need to carry out his demand. He doesn't need to touch Jesus' wounds. He sees and hears and knows, and he exclaims, "My Lord and my God." It's a very clear declaration of committed faith. I think it's time to reassess Thomas. In fact, it's always been time to reassess Thomas. We live in a world of convincing deep fakes, but he wants to see, to touch, to hear the truth. Just 2 years ago, there was probably one of the most infamous deep fakes in history. It resulted in £20 million being lost from a company called Arup, a global engineering and design firm. There were a Hong Kong-based employee joined a video call, which appeared to include the chief finance officer and several senior colleagues. But every person on the call, every face, voice and background was a deep fake and had been AI generated. It ended with him transferring £20 million of the company's finances to another account. It was a fake. It wasn't true. But Thomas, despite what we read and despite how we interpret what we read, wants to be close to Jesus. He wants to seek a literal physical connection with him. And he is honest about his concerns, his doubts. Perhaps he speaks for us. Even John, who records this story of Thomas, in verse 8 of the same chapter, gets to the empty tomb. Remember that race on Easter Sunday morning when the guys did not believe the girls that Jesus was no longer in the tomb and had risen. John records, he saw and he believed. So John, the writer of the gospel, needs the evidence, as Thomas does, as we all do to some extent. Because Thomas is one of us. We are Thomas-like. We query, we're uncertain, we're curious. And all this is absolutely fine. Doubt does not deny faith. In some ways, it shines a light on it and helps us seek deeper and richer truth. I would say that doubt and faith are fellow companions. They certainly have been in my life. And I'm sure if we talk about this at coffee, people would say that is true to some extent of me as well. Because it makes us and reminds us that we're human. We're not robotic in our faith and our journey of discipleship. It encourages us to search deeper. Why are we here? We're here to help each other understand more fully the truth of the resurrection and other Christian teachings. And it brings the reality of human existence into play. I know, I believe, but help me with my doubt. So ultimately, we can have confidence. We can have confidence, as John writes, of life in Jesus' name. And here's the best bit for you and I this morning. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Thomas. We thank you because he says it how it is. Surely this can't be true, that Jesus rose from the dead. Help us with whatever doubts we have in our faith journey. Give us the reassurance that we need, and the encouragement to trust you and to follow you this day and always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.